ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्यम नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीराय नास्तिपेश्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, Verse 21. Chapter titled The Renunciation of Kardama Muni. Gate sata dhritau kshataha गते सताद्रितौ क्षतः कर्दमास्ते न चोदितः यतोदितं स्वदुहित्रिः प्रदाद् विश्वसर्जं तथा प्रदाद् विश्वसर्जं ततः गते सताद्रितौ क्षतः कर्दमास्ते न चोदितः योदितं स्वदुहित्रः प्रदाद् विश्वसर्जं ततः. गते आफ्टर् हि डिपार्टेड् सतधृतौ लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा शतः ओ विदुर कर्दमा कर्दम मुनि तेन बाह्यं चोदितः ऑर्डर्ड यथा युदितं एस टोल्ड स्वदुहित्र हिज ओन डॉटर्स प्रदात हैंडेड ओवर विश्वसर्जम to the creators of the world population, Tataha, thereafter. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Vidura, after the departure of Brahma, Kardama Muni, having been ordered by Brahma, handed over his nine daughters as instructed to the nine great sages who created the population of the world. Translation, please repeat. O Vidura, after the departure of Brahma, Kardama Muni, having been ordered by the Brahma, handed over his nine daughters as instructed to the nine great sages who created the population of the world. We'll read couple of more verses because this verse does not have any purport. So we'll go to the next verse. Verse 22 and 23. Mariche kalam pradad anusuyam atraya shraddham angirase yachat pulastyaya havirbhuvam pulahya gatim yuttam कृतावे च क्रियं सतिं ख्यातिं च भार्गवे अच्छात् वशिष्ठायापि अरुन्धतिं. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Kardama Muni handed over his daughter Kala to Marichi and another daughter Anusuya to Atri. He delivered Shraddha to Angira and Havirbhu to Pulastya. He delivered Gati to Pulaha, the chaste Kriya to Krato, Khyati to Bhrigu, and Arundhati to Vashishtha. Verse 24. Atharvane adada shantim yaya yagno vitanyate विप्ररासाभान् कृतोध्वान् सदारान् समालालयत्. He delivered Shanti to Atharva. Because of Shanti, sacrificial ceremonies are well performed. Thus he got the foremost Brahmanas married, and he maintained them along with their wives. Verse 25. Tatastarasaya kshataha kritadhara nimantrayatam pratisthan antimapanaha swan swan ashram mandalam. Thus married, the sages took leave of Kardama and departed full of joy, each for their own hermitage. O Vidura. Verse 26. Sachavatrinam triyugam agnaya vibhudarshanam darshabham vivikta upasangamya pranamya samabhashatah. When Kardama Muni understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the chief of all the demigods, Vishnu, had descended, Kardama approached him in a secluded place, offered obeisances, and spoke as follows. So we'll read the purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, 2 verse 26. Lord Vishnu is called Triyuga. He appears in three yugas, Satya, Treta, and Dwapara. But in Kaliyuga, he does not appear. For the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, however, we understand that he appears garbed as a devotee in Kaliyuga. Lord Chaitanya is that devotee. Krishna appeared in the form of a devotee, but although he never disclosed himself, Rupa Goswami could understand his identity, for the Lord cannot hide himself from a pure devotee. Rupa Goswami detected him when he offered his first obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. He knew that Lord Chaitanya was Krishna himself, and therefore offered his obeisances with the following words: I offer my respects to Krishna, who has now appeared as Lord Chaitanya. This is also confirmed in the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. In Kaliyuga, he does not directly appear, but he appears as a devotee. Vishnu, therefore, is known as Triyuga. Another explanation of Triyuga is that he has three pairs of divine attributes, namely power and affluence, piety and renown, and wisdom and dispassion. According to Sridhar Swami, his three pairs of opulences are complete riches and complete strength, complete fame and complete beauty, and complete wisdom and complete renunciation. There are different interpretations of Triyuga, but it is accepted by all learned scholars that Triyuga means Vishnu. When Kardama Muni understood that his son Kapila was Vishnu himself, he wanted to offer his obeisances. Therefore, when Kapila was alone, he offered his respects and expressed his mind as follows. Om Agnanati Mirandashya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishivanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataro Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Tavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namanama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare So, we are seeing here especially in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam and third canto, we see there are many, many points mentioned, especially relating to grahastha ashram, especially to how one should live in material world. Sukhdev Goswami in second canto, 10th chapter, first verse mentioned what is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. The 10 purpose is that Srimad, 10 things that Srimad Bhagavatam talks about. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam uttaya manvantara isha anukata niruta muktir ashraya. And we see this third canto brings out most of these points very eloquently. Like if you look at sarga, in the beginning of third canto, sarga and visarga are different, defined. Sarga is how the Lord gives all the facilities for the creation. How Lord is the main purpose, Mahavishnu, and how the Purusha avataras play a role in creation of the entire material world. And then visarga, visarga where how secondary creation is coming into being, how Lord Brahma creates. So this is explained in the beginning of third canto. And then sthanam, how everything is resting upon, the whole universe is resting upon the Lord. Without the intervention of the Lord, nothing can happen. So this point is also very nicely brought out in this canto, third canto. Then poshanam. And this is one point, poshanam. What does poshanam mean? Protection. And this protection is brought throughout Bhagavatam. If we see, the poshanam part of the Lord is brought out each and every time, whenever demigods are in difficulty, when our devotees are in difficulty, Lord intervenes, Lord protects. And this is the whole purpose of understanding Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam brings us to the point where even if a devotee falls down, Lord is always there to protect. So this poshanam is the most important, and it's very well brought out even in this section. Uttaya. Uttaya means the creative impetus. Even that is brought out in this canto. How? What was the need for creation? What did Brahma do before creating? How did Kardama Muni approach when he had a desire? So all these creative impetus are brought out in this. Then Manvantara, again Manus are defined in this. Ishanukatha, basically the science of God. So that is defined. Nirodha, how Lord winds up after the creation. What does Lord do? So those things are Mukti and Ashraya. But the whole point, Mukti is also very nicely defined in that how one can engage even in this material affairs and still become liberated at the end just by performing his duty and keeping Lord in the center. So Kardama Muni is a very nice example of a grahastha here who engaged in all the facilities that was provided to him. He did not misuse the facilities, but he engaged in all the facilities, and ultimately when he realized God, now in this verse we are seeing Lord is appearing before him, and even though Lord is appearing from before him, is still, now we will see, he renounces everything, all the facilities, everything has been given, and renounces in search of Lord. Lord is in front of him, but he is going in search of, just to establish the point that one has to renounce at the end of his life. One has to have that goal. Because he did not say, okay, Lord is in my house, so why should I renounce? I should just engage in my daily affairs and activities and look after the Lord. And no, he put up this principle of renunciation. So this is how we see one, Srimad Bhagavatam explains Mukti, how one should become liberated, even being engaged into his daily affairs, even being in the material world, he can become liberated. And ashraya is the most important. Ashraya is Krishna himself. So Srimad Bhagavatam at the ultimately brings us to the point of ashraya, which is 10th canto. Right from the lotus feet of the Lord, it elevates us from 1st, 2nd, 9th canto, and then brings us to ashraya, which is Lord himself, Supreme Personality of God, the Samam Bonam. So there are two points, two principles mentioned here. One is ashraya and ashrita. So ashraya means shelter, the ultimate shelter, and ashrita is one who takes that shelter. So in the first 9 cantos we see all the avataras, all the material manifestation, everything that is there, ultimately it brings to the ashraya, who is the source of everything, who is the samam bonam of everything, and that is the Supreme Personality of God, Shri Krishna. So this is the whole point of understanding ashraya and ashrita. So that's the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, to bring us to the conclusion that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, is the ultimate ashraya, it is the ultimate goal of all the activities that we do. So this section, especially this set of verses, is broken down into three parts. The first part talks about the creation, creation and progeny. The second part in this purport especially is bringing out Triyuga. And the third part is bringing relationship of a devotee with the Lord. So from this we can understand all these examples that we heard. The nine daughters were married to the nine sages. What was the need of understanding the different personalities here? Why these personalities are mentioned? 4-5 verses are just basically, and once we go further, 8th-9th canto, like there is only description of the lineages. Only the names are mentioned, and sometimes it feels, what is the news of? We are not even going to remember those names. So all the kings, one after another, who married to whom? So what is the use of understanding all these things? The whole purpose, and these personalities are in different Puranas, there are different descriptions of these personalities given. But to understand that these personalities followed the Vedic Varnashram system very strictly. They followed the ashraya, the Lord. They were completely surrendered, and that's why they are mentioned here. And from their lives, we have to understand how we are supposed to live. So that is why these personalities, all these sages, the daughters' names are mentioned. It's not just for the sake of genealogical study. No, because they have done something significant. They have taken shelter of the Lord. And the way they live their life is important. They're exemplary. Kadamuni, Devuti, especially this section, if you study it very carefully, even in today's modern life, we can understand a lot how a husband and wife should live in Grahastha Ashram. How devotees approach the Lord. How devotees always dependent on the Lord. So this is the whole purpose of understanding all these personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam. That Kardama Muni was a sage. He did not have anything, any opulence. But when he had a desire, he approached the Lord. And it was not that he couldn't create anything. And we saw how he created the whole palace. How he created opulence which was even beyond the demigods' reach. Even demigods were surprised, how can a sage like this can create such a opulent thing? So it wasn't that he was not able to create, but he never used it for his own satisfaction. But when he saw that there was a need, when he saw there was a need for it, he created everything. And at the end of it, what does he do? He just renounces everything. So this is the whole purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. We see all the kings, Bharat Maharaj, there are Prithu Maharaj, there is a list of kings, Parikshit Maharaj especially. When they understood there was a time to leave, they were completely detached. They just left as if it was a piece of stool or stone. They were not even attached to any of their opulences. You can imagine the opulence of these kings who were ruling the whole world. So these kings were like living in real opulence. We don't even understand actually. We cannot even imagine the opulence of these kings. But when the time comes, what they show, that's what Bhagavatam teaches us. When the time comes, they are completely detached. They don't even think twice to make a will or to whom they should go and shouldn't go. No. They immediately give up because they understand this is temporary. This thing is anyways not mine. So that was the mood they were, that is why called Raja Rishis. Because the way they were ruling the kingdom was like Rishis. Rishis are basically, the one qualification of a Rishi is they are completely detached. They are not attached to anything. Real Rishis, not the Rishis we see today. But the real Rishis are, they are completely detached. They don't even consider anything their own. Even their family they don't consider their own. So that is why at the end of, when the time comes, it's easy for them to just give up things. Because they know it does not belong to them. They are just looking after someone else's property. And they understand this property belongs to the Lord. So that is another most important thing. They don't give up things because of false renunciation. But they understand, they look after the things as if it was the Lord, Lord's property. And when you look after thing of Lord's property, then you will look after it very nicely. So this was the mood when we see when they are in their ashram, they do everything perfectly well. And when they leave, when it's time to leave, they show the quality of renunciation also perfectly well. So this is how this people, this rishis, nine rishis and nine daughters of Kardamuni are the ones who are the people who created the population of the world. That is another point. When there is a qualified man and qualified woman, the population of the world will be qualified. Also Arjuna mentions this in his, he had one of the dilemmas, one of the doubts he had was about Varnasankara. If all the qualified men are dead in the battlefield, if he is the reason, then who will look after the progeny, who will look after the children, how will the woman be looked after? And if they are not looked after, women are not looked after, they will create Varnasankara. So this is very important point here that is coming up. All the Kardamuni was married to Devahuti. Devahuti was a princess, but he was married to a beggar-like rishi who looked like a beggar. So imagine there was a compatibility looked into this, whether the male is pious, whether he is qualified, not on the basis of wealth or material qualification, but on the based on the qualification of a character. So that was most important point in the Vedic time. People were married based on the character and suitability of their match. So astrological match were done, and many other things were matched before they were married. So there were no love marriages. People were married. When the women were married, they did not even see their husband. Just their fathers knew, and they just by the order of their father, they used to accept the husband as a life and soul. So we see this is the samskaras that are put into the civilization. And that is why the progeny we see from coming from this, all these personalities is very pious, very potent progeny. And we see from this generations, the population, they were the reasons for the population in the world. And this is Satyuga we are talking about, where people were much elevated. So this is how creation comes into begin by these nine daughters and rishis. And then in the purport, Prabhupada mentions about Triyuga, or in the verse it is mentioned, Triyuga. So Lord appears, Lord Vishnu is called Triyuga. Why? Because he appears in Satya, Treta and Dwapar Yuga. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport, Lord does appear in Kaliyuga as well. Lord appears as a Chana Avatara. Chana means he is hidden Avatara. But as per the definition by Sridhar Swami and the other Acharyas, Lord only reveals himself as Lord in the Triyuga, because that is the most Satya, Treta and Dwapar are the qualified Yugas, where there are three principles, and Sridhar Swami mentions Yuga means couple and three means three. Is this too loud? So Yuga means two couple, and three means three. So Lord appears in, as it is mentioned in the purport also, there are the main principles that Lord comes to protect is cleanliness, austerity and mercy. And that is why these are the three principles which are there in previous Yugas, which is not found, hardly found in Kaliyuga, and that is why Lord does not appear as himself. And the three main, and that is why, as in ISKCON, we, it's interesting, Prabhupada mentions the three principles that we follow is illicit sex, no intoxication, and eating only food that is offered to Krishna. He does not mention anything about gambling. That's another principle that we follow, but when Prabhupada must have written this purport, he did not felt the need of gambling to be mentioned, because not many people were doing at that time. But especially nowadays, we still have that also. And I think once Kali Yuga progresses, we'll have a list growing. But so this was the main three principles that were protected by the Lord. But in Kali Yuga, these three principles are not so well protected. Most of the people are indulged into illicit sex, intoxication, and meat eating. So people are degraded by nature in Kali Yuga. So Lord does not come as a Lord himself, but he comes as a Chanavatar. He comes as his devotee. So there are different descriptions mentioned how Lord in Kali Yuga, in different other yugas, Lord used to kill the demons or demoniac people. But in Kali Yuga, Lord comes and kills the demoniac tendency. Because if he killed the demons, then he might as well kill everyone. So that is where Lord comes. And it's interesting, this verse Triyuga is mentioned in just few chapters ago. The four Kumaras mentioned this. I think Prabhu gave a class a few weeks ago where the four Kumaras mentioned it too. When they go to Vaikuntha, they mention, they address the Lord as, you are Triyuga. And because you are Triyuga, you come and deliver the people, pious people, and the twice born and the demigods. And you remove the lust and passion and ignorance from the heart of the people and elevate them to goodness. So the four Kumaras are praying in that way. Because they could understand, like, even though they were, they had an ability to go to Vaikuntha, but they could not enter into Vaikuntha because of they had contamination of lust and anger. So anger and pride was there within their heart. So which is the product of passion and ignorance. So they are requesting the Lord to remove that passion and ignorance from their heart. So in Kali Yuga, we also know Lord appears as something else. Lord appears as His holy name. And Lord also appears as Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam states that. Krishna Sodhamu Pagate Dharma Gnanadibisa Kalavnasta Darshamesha Puranarko Dunandita. So after Krishna left the planet, who will look after? That was one of the questions. And Sukhdev Goswami says, in Kali Yuga, Lord has appeared as Srimad Bhagavatam Puranarko Dunandita. So, and that is the going to be the light bearing. Also, Kali Kale Naam Rupe Krishna Avatar. In Kali Yuga, Lord appears as His holy name. Naam Naam Akari Bhavda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given in Sistastikam. Naam Naam Akari Bhavda Nijesh Sarva Saktis. Everything is in the holy name. It is given in the holy name. So, one can rise from the platform of, in Kali Yuga, the most, which is the most degraded age, most of the people are in the mode of passion and ignorance. That is the driving force of Kali Yuga. We will hardly see, the devotees are exceptions, but we'll hardly see any people in the mode of goodness. Even if people look calm and they look pious, but still if you look into their lives, they are eating meat, they are having intoxication. So all these things are there, they are lusty. So passion and ignorance are the main driving force of Kali Yuga. But Srimad Bhagavatam gives a very nice four verse, especially in the first canto, second chapter. Srimad Bhagavatam gives how one can transcend, how one can come from, get rid of this calm and low, passion and ignorance. The first verse is Shushusha Saddha Dhanasya Vasudeva Katharichu Shyan Matsaya Vipra Punatirtha Nishwanath. Like just by serving the devotees, Mahat Seva Vipra. Just by serving the devotees, one gets the affinity to hear the message of Vasudeva. One gets a taste for hearing the message. And then what will happen in the next verse, it is mentioned, what will happen when one hears? Shravantam Svakata Krishna, Puna Shravana Kirtana, Hridayantastuya Abhadrani Vidunati, Shrutsatam. When one gets a taste for hearing, when one hears the pastimes of the Lord, one cleanses the heart of material desires. The heart becomes cleansed. And then again, next verse, what happens when the heart is cleansed? नास्ति प्रायशो अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवा भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. सो वेन वन रेंडर्स, सो वेन वन्स हार्ट इज क्लीन्स, वन कैन रेंडर सर्विस टू बुक भागवतम एंड डिवोटी भागवतम. एंड वॉट इज द रिजल्ट ऑफ दैट? Everything that is troublesome to the heart is nasta prayasho abhadrashu. Everything that is troublesome to the heart is destroyed. And as a revocable fact, so once everything that is troublesome is destroyed, automatically the Lord is established within the heart. The love for the Lord is established. So this is the beauty of anatmavritti, the process. As soon as anatmavritti, as we grow, grow older in devotional life, the anatmavritti takes place, automatically the taste, ruchi, asakti, and the love is established for the Lord. And in the next verse, it is mentioned, tada rajas tamo bhava, kama lobhashaya, chita ittarsana anavidyam, sthitam sattve prasiddhati. And as soon as the loving service is established in the heart, the effects of the modes of nature, passion and ignorance are destroyed. And one can easily give up lust, anger and all these anarthas. So this is a four verse in sequence from 1 to 16 to 1 to 19 are given in the second chapter in Pure Devotional Service titled. So how one can elevate just by the process? The process is so powerful that one can elevate from just hearing to prema, or one can destroy all the anarthas from their heart. Vrindavan Das Thakur mentioned that there are four things. Bhagavate Tulsi Ga Gaya Bhakta Jane Jiva Nyasa Karile Sri Murti Puja Hoy Chaturda Vigraha Krishna Ei Char Sane Jane Matrai Char Ishwara Vedekai. So Vrindavan Das Thakur mentions, like, Lord Krishna appears in four forms in Kali Yuga: the scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, the Tulsi plant, the river Ganges, and the Lord's devotees. And while the deity form of the Lord is worshipable only after the performance of certain rituals, one has to be qualified for that. Whereas the Vedas explain that these four forms are directly the Supreme Lord Himself from the moment they appear in this world. So it's amazing. Just by serving Srimad Bhagavatam, Tulsi plant, the Ganges and the devotees, it is the same as serving the Lord Himself. Because to do deity worship, we have to be qualified. Even if we can get Brahmana initiation, but still we have to be mentally and our consciousness has to be cleansed. So one has to be qualified to do deity worship. But these four, one can worship without qualification. So that is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam and the devotees, Tulsi plant and the Ganges. So this is how Lord helps. He is Triyuga, but still he is available easily, because this age is the most degraded age. So in previous yuga, because if you have got mode of passion and ignorance, even if the Lord comes in front of you, in front of Duryodhan, Lord was there, but what did he do? He tried to arrest him. So even in other yugas, Lord appears, but if people who are in the mode of ignorance and passion, they cannot see the Lord. So that is why in Kali Yuga, because most of the people are like Duryodhan, Lord appears in a way where people can easily accept, see. Even the non-devotees, when devotees go on Harinam, they give the Lord to the non-devotees, and sometimes they appreciate, the non-devotees also appreciate the sound vibration of the Lord, and then they can see the Lord. So this is how the beauty of the process of devotional service works in Kali Yuga. So the next point we'll see, the Lord's relationship with the devotee. We see Kardam Muni. Prabhupada mentions Kardam Muni was we already discussed this to a certain degree. Like, Kardam Muni knows the Lord is, Lord has appeared in his house. So he approaches the Lord and worships him in secluded place. So this is how Prabhupada mentions, even though Lord appears in whatever form, a pure devotee can easily recognize him. And Prabhupada gives the example of Rupa Goswami. Even though Lord Chaitanya was hidden avatar, but Rupa Goswami could recognize the Lord. And when he first met, he immediately fall down at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and glorified and say, "You are none different than Krishna himself." So the devotee's heart can also, we see in this same canto, when Lord appeared as Varahadev, Lord appeared in the form of a boar from the nostril of Lord Brahma. And first Lord Brahma was bewildered. What is this thing that has appeared as a boar? And boar is not like a most prominent figure that Lord would appear in. But because Lord Brahma and the demigods are devotees, they could understand. As soon as they saw the Lord, they could, regardless of the form of the Lord, they could understand this is the Supreme, this is our Master. Because they have got devotion. And when you have got devotion, you can easily recognize the Lord. And the devotion can only come if your heart is in the mode of goodness at least. When you are in mode of passion or ignorance, it's very difficult to recognize the Lord. So that is why the process is given to purify the heart, to bring you to the mode of at least goodness, so that you can recognize the Lord, so that you can have desire for to hear the message of the Lord. Because in Kali Yuga, Lord appears as Srimad Bhagavatam, as the voice, as the sound vibration. So that is why it is very important that we follow the process, and when our heart becomes purified, we can see the Lord. And that's what we see here. Kardama Muni could understand that this child is Lord himself, and then he worships the Lord. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? I'm not sure, but it's mentioned by Vrindavan Das Thakur in his book. I forgot the name of the book. You know, Prabhu? I forgot. But if you go onto Google and check for Vrindavan Das Thakur, this is in his poem. He's mentioned that. And in the translation, it is mentioned. In the Vedas, it is mentioned there. Yes, Prabhu? Sorry, I can't. Actually, many people, especially from the western and northern part of India, don't understand the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They think he was not so famous. But if you go through Jagannath Puri or eastern part and the southern part, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only went to Vrindavan once or twice, right? Once? Yeah. So he did not preach in the north much. But he went most of his journey, if you look, it was in the southern parts. And because that's where all the scholars were at that time. Because there wasn't much preaching, even though Vrindavan was a land of Krishna. But after all the Mughals and all the different people who came to India, it was driven out. It was all hidden. The Vrindavan was covered. There weren't many devotees left there. Because the kings and the Jaipur kings and all, they took away the deities, the original deities, everything was covered, temples were broken down. So there wasn't much going on in Vrindavan at that time. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mainly preached to the people, the intellectual people, the devotees who were there in eastern and southern part. So that is why he is more famous, and you see most of the pastime places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in those places. And he is famous in at his time he was well known. Everyone knew him. But as it is mentioned, he is a Chana avatar. He did not reveal himself as Lord, Supreme Lord, because there was a purpose. Because people won't understand. As I mentioned here, people at that time, even today, we see more mainly in the mode of passion and ignorance. They wouldn't understand even if Lord revealed. Because at that time, even in Navdeep, his own disciples were criticizing, people were criticizing him for chanting, because the process was limited. At that time, only the Smartha Brahmanas had covered, it had become a money-making business. So Brahmanas were making money out of devotion. So that is, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, opened up this process to be, so that anyone who is there, that it does not need any qualification, anyone can practice devotional service. And that is why the Smata Brahmanas did not like him. And they were spreading propaganda. They even went to Kazi that this person is an imposter. And so they were preaching against him. And then that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided, okay, I need to take sannyas. And he took sannyas at the age of 24 and traveled around different parts of India and preached the message of Krishna. And established especially this Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So that is why you wouldn't, just because we haven't heard about in the north and western part of India, his potency does not diminish in any way. He is famous. And he was the original one who spread the Nam Sankirtan. And that is because of him we are all able to hear about Krishna. Otherwise we would have been one of the Ozis today. So that wouldn't be wrong to say he is not famous, because today he has been worshipped in more countries than any other personality of Godhead. So his name, his process has been followed in most of the parts of the world. And that was the prediction he made, like there will be a senapati, there will be a person who will come and he will spread my names to each and every town and village. So he is famous. Otherwise, how would we hear, how would we see him in Melbourne? Yeah. Okay. We'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.